This podcast is brought to you by SMC. Money wise, be wise.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. I'm your host Kirtana and you're listening to Rajneeti, our podcast on the latest political developments in the country. As most of you might have already heard, Home Minister Amit Shah today announced the withdrawal of Article 370 from Kashmir. He also announced that Jammu and Kashmir will be bifurcated into two different union territories. While Jammu and Kashmir will be a union territory with a legislature, Ladakh will not have a legislature. To understand what's going on in the state, we have with us Sharat Pradhan, a senior journalist and political analyst. Welcome to the show, Sharat.
All
the decisions taken in Kashmir today were, it was an overnight decision. So what is your view on this move by the government?
Well, you know, it speaks of the government's intent. You know, it reflects the government's intent. Obviously, they did not want to make any noise about it before taking this such a step. Normally, in a democratic setup, in a democratic republic, you don't do things like this way on the slide. It should be something which is going to affect the lives of people, not only of people of that state, but also of the people of the rest of the country, because now the other people living in other parts of the country also are entitled to become a part of Kashmir, which they have not, which is very heartening on one hand. But on the other, think of those people who have been enjoying, maybe even if it is notional, it is a kind of autonomy that they get, which is not available to others, and which was a part of the deal that was struck when Kashmir was annexed with India. Yeah, because in 1947, when India, the partition took place, it was an independent entity. So it has this history. So that in the light of that background, it could have been certainly better if the people of the state, the view of the people of the state was also taken. They were also on board. You know, doing it overnight at a time when the state assembly stands dissolved. And so, you know, you inherit the powers of the state assembly, which is the largest in any democratic setup. It is the biggest constitutional entity which represents the people of the state. So now, at the moment, with the national parliament, and where you have a majority. So you take undue advantage of that fact and go ahead, bulldoze your orders overnight. So that way, it doesn't seem to be a fair manner, in really speaking, to have done this.
Okay. Can you tell us a little about the Kashmir's special status and the Articles 370 and 35A?
Yeah. Well, you know, 370 was an article that was incorporated in the constitution after the Kashmir Raja at that time in 1947 was a Hindu Raja, and he decided to annex Kashmir with India because Pakistan had attacked. Mind you, in 47, when Kashmir decided to be independent, Pakistan wanted to take advantage of the fact, and they attacked Kashmir with the intention of grabbing that territory. So India came to assist Kashmir, and they managed to drive away the Pakistani forces. Finally, as a result of which, the Raja decided to annex itself with India, and it was an entity of India. No dispute about that. So, once it was annexed, with this provision of Article 370, they were given a special status. This was well thought out by the top constitutional experts and political leaders of the country, which included Nehru and Sardar Patel and others. And they agreed that, okay, we give you a special status, which is, they said that the independent entity of Kashmir will remain maintained. You know, people from other parts of India will not be allowed to purchase land there, or become get government jobs there. It will remain. You know, only the son of the soil will get a job in the government of Kashmir, in the territory of Kashmir, and only son of the soil will be allowed to own land in that state. Certainly, it does sound, today it sounds very, very unjust to others who are living in other parts of the country and who are entitled to buy land anywhere else in the country. But, mind you, similar laws have been made in a few other states where you still, where you cannot buy land. There are restrictions. There is, even in Himachal Pradesh, in Uttarakhand also, there are certain provisions, not like the one in Kashmir, but there are provisions like this. So, you know, that kind of special status was given in the hope that Kashmir will grow and people of the state will get because of the special status, they'll be able to take the state forward because ultimately that has not happened. That is also true. Kashmir is one of the most backward states of the country. And tons of money has got pumped in there by successive central governments in the name of development, but there's no development. I personally feel that if there had been good industrialization in Kashmir, which could have been done, which was not a difficult thing, you know, all this separatist activity, the terrorism, all this is a post-1989 scenario. Prior to that, even in the early years, in the 90s, something could have been done. And if these young boys who are indulging in these militant acts, if they had jobs, I'm sure they would not be doing what they are doing. They are easy prey to terrorists from coming from across the border. It's very easy. You don't have jobs. You are on the streets. You know, even tourism, which was the only major source of revenue for the state and major source of earning for the people of the state, is not there because of terrorism. So, you know, these boys, if they had got and the things had been handled, I think, again, there's been a lot of corruption, a lot of money has been eaten up by corrupt politicians and corrupt bureaucrats, with the result that you have Kashmir in this state today.
Okay. So, Ladakh has been made a union territory without legislature. Mm-hmm. How is that different from a regular union territory?
It is like how Delhi used to be originally. Delhi did not have a legislature for a long time. Delhi never did not have a chief minister for a long time. It was only later that they got the status. Chandigarh, it would be more like Chandigarh or like Andaman and Nicobar. And Ladakh has a very scattered population. It is not easy for Ladakh to, you know, if you have a legislature there, it's a vast, I've been there, and it's a vast open, you know, that a very unique kind of desert, and for miles you don't find a single soul. So there are very scattered villages. So I think it makes sense if at all they were going to, first of all, technically and logically and democratically, it was unfair to bifurcate Kashmir into two parts. But that probably they did it because they wanted to fulfill their electoral promise of scrapping Article 370 and 35A. And this they found this convenient way. Once you divide the state and declare them as union territories, the state entity finishes, and with the state finishes the autonomous status granted to the state under Article 370 and 35A. It's automatically gone. They did not have to scrap it. Automatically it goes, because once the statehood goes, but if at all this had to be done, then in that case, I think this was a sensible thing to have not given this legislature to Ladakh. And Ladakh, you know, is bordering with Pakistan and China very always, and it's full of, that's the reason it is full of security forces, which is necessary, and very vulnerable area, very hostile conditions. So it's best managed in this form.
Okay. What about the house arrests on Omar Abdullah and Mehbooba Mufti? Is it legal to make a sudden decision like that?
I don't think so. This is certainly a very, very undemocratic and very despotic and dictatorial decision. You know, you can't just because you want to have your way with the change that you have made, with the drastic transformation that you want to bring about, you want to put everybody who raises a voice against it behind, but not, you can literally, it is, you know, like house arrest is almost like being behind bars, because you can't step out, you can't address a meeting, all the kinds of meetings have been banned. So it's a very, very undemocratic scenario, and which takes you to the dictatorial, completely dictatorial manner, where you don't want dissenting voices. So, you know, that is not what something you expect in a country like India. I can understand this kind of thing happening in Pakistan. They've seen their dictatorial approach and their military approach is known. But one doesn't expect that kind of a thing happening in India.
Yeah.
As I would like to add, you know, it sometimes appears to me that it is something like the emergency that we saw in Indira Gandhi's time in 1975.
Yeah.
All freedom, you are restrained from anything, no freedom of speech, no freedom of expression, freedom. So it is becoming that kind of, it's an undeclared emergency there.
Yeah, true. The public has mostly considered this as a positive move by the government. But would there actually be any positive outcome from this?
Well, you know, that is quite debatable, because it is people who consider it good are, I think, the people like us who do not live in that state. But I'm sure that people who live in that state, they don't consider it a good decision. Because naturally, you know, this is restricting their freedom, their certain privileges that they were getting, those have been restricted. So anybody in their position may not be certainly happy. But yes, for the rest of the country, yes, it is seen as a very good move. And politically, it may pay dividends to Narendra Modi in the long run also. Because this is a long-standing promise of the BJP, and they have actually done it. But I am sure this may not be... I don't see this as a solution to the Kashmir problem. You know, had it been a solution, it would have been great and certainly welcome. But if it is only a temporary move and a political move to make some brownie points, and at the end of the day people continue to resent this, then it may not be seen as a good move. Only time will tell whether this move was actually good or not.
What is the next political move that we can expect from Kashmir?
I think some of the political parties will take it to court. They will definitely go to the Supreme Court, and some constitutional bench will decide whether, you know, whether this is can be upheld or not. That's a difficult question which only time will tell. But politically, there is not much that they can do except, yes, raising voices. But you know, the kind of voices that one hears are very threatening. You know, this fellow was, Gilani was seen addressing the Hurriyat meeting and screaming their lungs out with, "Hum Pakistan ke saath hain. Hum Pakistani hain." You know, this is what is going to hit very badly against them only. Because this sends a message across the rest of India that, look here, these people, as it is, Kashmiris have often been defamed. Because of this, there is a small section which wants Pakistan. Most of the Kashmiris are not with Pakistan. That's a true reality. But with these voices rising in high decibels, this is definitely going to send a wrong message. So they need to be contained. And you know, but I think the government of the day is probably wanting these voices to be highlighted so that they can spread their own propaganda that, look here, if we had not done, this is what would have happened to Kashmir. You know, because if they wanted to go with Pakistan, they could have gone long back. There was no need for Pakistan to change it. Yes, Pakistan wants it, but most of the Kashmiris do not want accession with Pakistan.
Okay, thank you so much for your interesting insights. I hope that the listeners gathered some information from this.
Let's hope so.
With that, it's a wrap on this podcast. If you have any questions for us or you want us to cover any topics, you can mail us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. Let me repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.